want to take a key into the kitchen. The kitchen is, I think, my favorite transformation in the system. I don't even know how to quantify everything that I've seen, all the emotions that I feel right now, but it's pretty incredible. We'll start there.
I was going to call you earlier and say, well, how do you want to do this?
I don't know if there's any way to do this. This is not a good thing.
Well, you know.
I guess we'll dive into what it's all about. The more I read about the Coastal Commission today, the more I got depressed.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce has been saying that for all along. If you ever want anyone to be a Debbie Downer in your life, just call Bruce. For everything. It doesn't even matter what it's about, except when it comes to health.
Oh, no.
Isn't that everything? Well, you know, it's not really going to work out. Always.
Well, at least that way you're pleasantly surprised when it does work out.
Yeah, no, in fact, you sent me an email I still haven't read. I probably should read it. Where is it? He kind of had a problem. Well, it's down here somewhere. Oh, there it is. One of the really important points is the loss of a large percentage of coastal camping. I don't recall the exact number, but it was a lot. Packing 500 people in that 1 mile stretch along with everything else is ridiculous. You can see maybe 100, but 500, no way. My friends who surf that area, which is a really good area, I'm happy because it will be very difficult for them to get to their spots. The closure will affect a lot of people, not just OHV users. You can get other types of users on board. It will mean something. Most people don't care about OHV, but they like to be able to drive on the beach. They do other things. We've heard from these folks, but not enough to make a difference.
The only thing that we're really going to have to get everybody together. This is going to take a large population of portion of the population of California to save Pismo, Oceana.
It is. It's going to take a lot of political pressure, and I don't know whether it's going to happen. I don't know if we make it an issue during the Newsom recall, which I thought about, and I thought, well, that would be really tacky. And then I thought, maybe it wouldn't. But until we get a confirmation from Parks that they actually are going to fight for it, I mean, imagining us fighting for it. I mean, everything I've gotten has said they will. Hey, other Ken.
Hi, Ken, how are you?
Hello.
So, Ken Clark,
yeah.
One thing we have to bring up is the annual meeting. And
yeah.
I think if you want to, you can propose that the first annual meeting be the next date. For, you know, part one will be on April whatever, and part two will be on our May date. And I have not received any bylaw amendments or bylaw changes or anybody indicating they wanted bylaw changes. We have to go get those in the ORIA 45 days before. If we do those at the May meeting, we still have a chance to do that. If we get a couple more articles for the ORIA, we can put an online edition out. If we get more articles, Ken and I can have that ready, like, in a 2-3 days.
Yeah, got to get an article. Like.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you want an ORIA to go out, I need an article.
Are you going to be able to use many of the articles that I have given you, the letters about Pismo?
I haven't even looked at them yet.
Okay.
But I don't see why we couldn't. I mean.
Okay.
I think it's important for people to understand that this means a lot to different people in the community. And I really didn't like on the conference call, they just dismissed the Central Valley. It's like, yeah, we know you guys have bad air quality, but you're going to have to find somewhere else to go. I mean, so many of the statements were so condescending and just more than disappointing. And it was really kind of disgusting how they dismissed everybody except the people they didn't want to dismiss.
Have you looked up the Coastal Commission on Wikipedia?
No.
There's about a 30-year history of them overreaching their boundaries.
Yeah, I mean.
Property rights violations and everything. And most of the time they get held up by the courts. And evidently, they can actually override elected officials. They are considered the most powerful quasi-judicial agency in the world.
Yeah. No, there's no checks and balances.
No, there is none.
They're drunk on their own power.
They are. I've been trying to find, you know, some type of oversight or you know, checks and balances, like you say, and I can't find anything yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Lori.
Hey, Amy. How are you feeling?
It's a very long recovery.
Yeah.
That shorthand thing, there's some good days, but there's still a lot of pain.
Do you still have your purple cast?
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
Yeah,
I love it.
I might get a new cast on Friday. We'll see. Hey, Vinny.
Hello, everyone. I'm eating.
I just finished.
Saw you on Facebook today in your snow gear going down the hill.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it must have been a flashback or something.
It was a flashback from 9 years ago. Actually, I was riding a chairlift up. It was 9 years ago I saw that.
Oh.
Wow.
I thought you were cuter.
We've had On the Rocks join, and I think this is Bruce Brazil.
I'm here.
Hi, Bruce.
All right.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
And Ed Stoven. Ed, that was a great letter you sent. That was really good. I don't know if Ed could hear.
I can't. You can't hear me very well when I'm muted. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Tony Atkins and Brian Mantine are my reps. So if you need something, if you need someone to contact the speaker, the pro tem of the Senate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's
that's
my representative.
So where's Steve Padilla running for a seat from? It's near you somewhere, or El Cerrito. I think he's from El Cerrito. He's running for a position.
Who is that?
The chair of the Coastal Commission. Somewhere, I think, El Cerrito. And Bruce and Jared and Mike. I hope they.
We need to sabotage his campaign. We need to sabotage his campaign.
Well, not so that we can be found out.
No, I know that.
Sunday
evening, from Burbank. I was wrong.
So Diana's going to take notes for me if I'm still on my little tablet. But she's not on yet. So I'm going to text her.
Oh, that's right. You're still limping.
I can't walk on it. There is no limping. There's no walking.
Yeah, I've been there.
And there's no putting my foot down for long, more than 15 minutes or so. I'm up to 15 minutes.
Amy, do you have one of those carts you can put your knee on and then kind of...
Yeah, I have two of them. I have one in the car or use outside, and then one I use in the...
Okay.
In the house. But then your knee starts hurting because you're on it every time you have to get up. So your knee gets kind of calloused.
Can't win.
This too shall pass. I think that's something biblical.
Well, I bought a brand new red sticker bike.
All right.
Yeah. Now's the time to do it.
Husky 450, one of the last ones in San Diego.
Oh.
You know, in case Brian can't get it done. And even if he does, it'll still have stipulations. So I'll be keeping this bike for a while.
Those will become
I'm sorry, you blanked out.
People are going to want those red sticker bikes.
This bike, my bike is probably the most desirable bike out there.
Yeah,
the red sticker bikes are going to go to green sticker in 4 or 5 years. And this was the shootout winner this year.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Motocross Action liked it a lot.
Okay, well, we only have 9 board members on, so let's wait a second till we get a couple more. And Diana said she'll be on in just a minute, and then she'll start taking notes. And Butch, that was a really good statement too to Southway riders. Have you gotten any feedback?
Of course not. but I'm gonna craft an appeal to Dave Cortese and say, dudes, you got to send stuff like this to your representatives because That's what people need, is so they don't have to think. They can just copy.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone's busy, so we'll see what happens. Okay, I'm going to put myself back on mute so I can do the dishes.
No problem.
You want to give it just a couple minutes, Amy?
Huh?
We want to give it a couple more minutes before we start?
Yeah, we don't have a quorum yet.
Okay.
So
who do we need that's not on right now?
Who's not on? Diana's not on. Dave Cundy's not on. Jim Woods isn't on. Maybe we do have a quorum. Who am I missing? Bruce is here. Mike is here. I know, maybe we do have a quorum, but let's give it
to
7:05. Well, it's a small group tonight anyway, so Diana will catch up with the names when she finds her phone charger.
All right, I got 7:06. I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. March 22, 2021. Welcome, everybody. My name's Ken Clark. I'm president. We're going to start with the roll call, and then we'll welcome our guests. Then we'll modify the agenda as needed. And then we're all going to kind of jump on students tonight, because that's really a shocker. It's a huge issue for everybody right now. All righty. So we're waiting on Diana Mead, right? She's not on board.
Oh, there she is.
There's Diana. Good evening, Diana. Are you present?
I'm so sorry. I charged my computer. I charged everything, and then I looked at my phone and realized, oh, this isn't going to work. So go figure how you find a charging cord which isn't in your usual spot. Okay. I'm here. I'm ready. Thank you.
Okay. Welcome, Diana. And thank you for helping out with the notes tonight. Bruce Witcher? Bruce Brazil?
I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah. Oh. Well, good evening, Bruce. We have Bruce. Chris, right?
Yeah.
Hey. Ken, you're breaking up a little bit on your phone. Can you maybe try a little different spot or come off a speaker if you're using speaker?
Yeah. My head died. Hold on. Okay, is this any better?
Yeah, it's a lot
much better.
All right. All righty. Okay. Louis or Lori? Lori?
Yeah.
Lori, are you with us?
I am.
Good evening. Jim Woods. No, Jim? Ed Stoven.
Here.
Evening. Vinny Barbarino.
I'm here.
Vinny? Bob Ham. Andy? Yes.
Yep.
Charlie Lowe. Mike Moore.
Mike is here.
Welcome, Mike. Dave Cundy.
Dave Cundy's here.
Good evening, Dave. Jarrett McLeod.
Jared here.
Good evening, Jarrett. Okay, that does it. Who do we have for guests, Amy?
I have Butch Miner, Ken Oyer, and the representatives from On the Rocks. And that's what I wrote down for the name, so I apologize.
Wendell James.
Wendell?
Wendell with an L. L-Y-N-D-O-L. James.
All righty. Thank you, and welcome for attending our meeting tonight. And somebody just came on?
Debbie Campbell.
Hi, Debbie.
Oh, Debbie. Hi.
Okay. Has everybody reviewed the agenda? Does anybody have anything to add?
I do meeting dates for the annual meeting.
Yes. We'll talk about that. More of a 50th anniversary at the end. Does that sound good?
Sure.
But we'll get that in there. Okay. If everybody's good with the agenda, then we'll move on. It's been a tough month for everybody. I went down and attended the Save the Dunes protest. It was really good protest. It was a demonstration, a permitted demonstration. There were protesters there that did not have a permit, and they were demonstrating against us. It was nice to see the community, the mayor, and the Chamber of Commerce out there. And then, of course, we all, pretty much everybody watched the commission meeting or has heard about the commission, the Coastal Commission meeting. It's very disheartening. The more I learn about the Coastal Commission, we are in for the fight of our lives. They are known as the toughest quasi-judicial agency in the world. These guys have been infringing on people's property rights and pretty much just running the show any way they want for the last 30 years. Evidently, they can even override elected officials. I haven't figured out exactly how they can do that, but I've read where they can do that. Most of the lawsuits against them, seems like it's about 50-50. Some of them have been won. A lot of them are lost. The judge will agree with them. So we're going to have a heck of a fight, and we're really going to have to get everybody involved in this. Everybody's going to have to stick together. So that's my opinion on it, and every organization is going to have to get together on this. It's going to be a huge political fight. So with that, Amy, what do you have to say?
I'm just as depressed as Ken. I have been in contact with state parks, and basically it's interesting because on Friday they were just shell-shocked. Ken Clark, I'm going to try to mute you for a second. There's a lot of noise coming through. Oh, it's not Ken. It's somebody else. So somebody's got an awful lot of noise in the background. I just don't know who it is. I can't see on the screen. But anyway, I really thought, and I know Diana and I were communicating, and Diana was communicating with Ken during the meeting, and I talked to Bruce along the way, and it just was disgusting. It was a disgusting show of governmental overreach and power, and really coastal elitism at its peak, and the dismissive way and Some didn't feel it was condescending. I felt it was condescending because the way they reference the people who go there and the people mean a lot. It's like, well, we hear you. Yes, we know this is important, but you're just going to have to find another place to go. And just a complete denial of people's rights. And that they feel power that powerful to do it is astounding on the one hand, but this precedence for state parks is terrible. So it's not really about OHV at this point. It's about the precedent that's being set. And so they were regrouping. Today's just Monday, so Friday they were in shell shock mode. They stayed there very late at night, all talking with each other. And I feel that in a way it's sort of good that Armando and Sarah both sort of knew to this battle in the fact that they're new to their positions in State Park. And they look at it with a different lens than the rest of us are looking at it then, especially those of us who have been ups and downs of land use battles. Armando evidently, and I didn't hear from him, but people close to him, he was just shocked. He just absolutely did not believe this was going to happen for whatever reason, even though the rest of us read the tea leaves. But he's friendly, very friendly with Carol Hart and a couple other people on the Coastal Commission that he's known for many years. And he just couldn't believe these same people that he knew as colleagues or friends would act in this manner. And I think that's an important thing for people who are not OHV people, who haven't been through that before, to hear what we're exposed to on a regular basis. This happens to us. It happens to us at Carnegie. It happens to us in the Forest Service. It happens to us everywhere. And the point of that is so they'll get angry and fight. So they have prepared their legal case, which they believe is very strong. I don't know how they'll be filing, when they'll be filing, if the administration will allow them to file. There's going to be a lot of internal conversations before that happens, I believe. And I'll try to keep the board up to date as much as possible on what I find out. But the one thing that when Sarah called me, she stressed most importantly is she wanted the community to come together, everyone in the community to come together. And I don't know if she's going to call a conference call or she's going to ask us to call a conference call. But even now, and Ken and I were talking, we know a family and, actually, Kurt Schneider was in the very first Commons Project workshop that we did at the CalFOR office. I don't know if Bruce remembers that. Long, long time ago. And his son put a really stupid statement on one of the social media sites. I don't know which one it was. But Kurt knows better. He really does. And for rock crawlers to say, well, this doesn't bother me because I'm a rock crawler, you know, or motorcyclists, and which I got from AMA at one point, say, well, motorcyclists don't really go there, so it doesn't really matter to us. I mean, I don't understand, and I just tell people, you know, we're Corva. We represent everybody. Everybody's the same in our eyes. If we're fighting for Ocotillo Wells, we're fighting for Ocotillo Wells. If we're fighting for snowmobiles, we're fighting for snowmobiles. If we're fighting for OSHA dunes, we're fighting for Oceana dunes. We don't expect you to pick your battles. I mean, everybody has to fight for this. And I confess to not having a whole lot of patience for that attitude. So we have a meeting with Parks California tomorrow, me and Paul Slavik, to try to elicit their support because if it happened to us, it can happen to any other park. Then we have another meeting on Wednesday afternoon with park staff. And we'll see. You know, we'll see where it goes. But the one thing we have to do is be smart and, you know, decide what we're going to do and make sure that we've got the best help the best attorneys and the best coalition possible to move forward when we see what the correct path is. And that's, you know, what I'd recommend. We did have a couple of people. We had three people join, Ken.
Yes.
I see Mike McGarity.
Hi, Mike.
And,
yeah, hey, guys, this is Mike. And I have a question, to when it's appropriate, let me know.
Sure. Joe Rodriguez, which, if I'm not mistaken, is all the way from Utah.
Wow,
Ridgecrest, California.
Ridgecrest, yeah, California.
Oh, Ridgecrest, sorry. Wrong Joe Rodriguez. and Jim Woods, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Jim? We're here.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Jim
and Roberta.
Welcome.
So just wanted to get that in there. So, Mike, you had a question?
Yeah, I had a question. So knowing what we know now about the Coastal Commission, what is Corva's next step? What do you think is Corva's going to be the next step? I mean, one of the OHV associations needs to jump in and file a lawsuit, and wondering if that's something that Corva's going to consider, and if so, when?
Well, so Friends of Oceana Dunes is very lucky to have a lawyer that is, you know, completely up to speed, and I know it's been announced on social media they're going to file a lawsuit, and that's there. And what I was going to ask the board tonight is, one thing I'd like to consider is, when the lawsuit does get filed, is for Corva to file a Friend of the Court brief on that lawsuit, or an amicus brief on the lawsuit. That is just because the other side is going to have every environmental organization like CBD or Sierra Club or Surf Riders, I mean, everyone who testified, they're going to file a Friend of the Court brief on behalf of the Coastal Commission, if that's the entity that's going to be sued. I'm assuming that that's the entity that's going to be sued. But we want to make sure there's a show of force on our side as well. So I don't know if the lawsuit has been filed, but I would hope either Mike or Jared, that you both are on their board. I think it would be a good idea, and to find out if we can file a Friend of the Court brief, because I think that'll be important. The next thing that is really important to do is find out what Parks is going to do, because it's still State Parks land. And that's step number one, which we've already started determining. And step number two is form a coalition and find as many people as possible that can be with that coalition. And we are in discussions with that already, with different groups in and out of California. And we hope that all the groups can come together and find a really good lawsuit. The other thing, or a really good lawyer, to determine what the best next guess for a lawsuit is. The other people I'm going to comment is contact the Specific Legal Foundation, who those who have been on the board for a long time know that Corva worked with Specific Legal Foundation to file a lawsuit against the Forest Service. We worked with them for about 3 or 4 years in Sacramento, and we lost on appeal, but they're pretty good guys. And the Coastal Commission a few times, and want to find out if there's any interest at all in pursuing this. So I'd really like to know what's on State Parks' mind. The one thing I just want to make sure is that they're going to fight like hell. As soon as we find out that they're going to fight like hell, we know that we have permission to fight like hell too. And you could say we don't need their permission, but with a state park that doesn't want to go ahead and fight for Oceana Dunes, let's say there would be a lawsuit that would prevail. And state park says, no, we're going to phase it out anyway. That would be difficult. So a lot of this is political. And the other thing we have to do is start really some legislative lobbying, because that is already one of the important steps that's there. There are people who want to shore up this decision because they know there are going to be lawsuits by filing potentially introducing a bill in the next session that would change
Amy?
The legislative action. I'm sorry?
Amy, this is Vinny. Should we have some of our members write letters to state parks and tell them how important this issue is to us, so that, you know, maybe we can
They know. It's not that. It's they've been preparing the court case all along. So all their actions up to now, everything they've done with the PWP, all the very calm language. First, that's what Armando wanted. He wanted everyone to be as professional as possible, so he could be as factual as possible, because he really thought that that was the most important thing that they could be, and of course the commission would listen. But no, State Parks knows that it's important to all of us. They absolutely know. And I think more than anything else, them being sort of shell-shocked is a really powerful thing that can motivate them to do the right thing. I just want to make sure they're going to do the right thing. So I think it's important that Sarah wants to call a conference call and bring everybody together. I think that's a real good leadership move and an important one. And she said, just give me a few days. This has been really hard to deal with. I need some time. And I think we should respect that. And she was really upset. So,
I was just wondering.
Well, where we're going to need our members to start contacting people is contacting their legislators and letting them know how important this is to everybody. In a very professional matter.
How much is the legislator down in San Diego going to care about what goes on up in Oceano? If it's not in their district, they don't give a crap, you know?
It matters. It doesn't matter in the sense all we need to do is make noise. So the environmental groups have gotten really smart, and they lobby on issues as well as on bills. So we lobby on bills at the moment. Lobbying on issues could be done at the same time, but we don't have the people who respond. And Butch knows this as well as I do. Making noise is very valuable because people don't like it. Legislators don't like it. And enough people make noise and they start talking to each other and they go, what the hell? What did we unleash here? What happened? What did the Coastal Commission do? Why are these people all upset? And that's the reaction we want. That is really valuable. It can come from one or two or three people. But there's a whole lot of people in the Central Valley that use and enjoy Oceana Dunes. There's a whole lot of them. And those legislators should have their phones and emails and fax machines just packed. And it doesn't have to be a fancy statement. It has to be, what has the Coastal Commission done? They've cheated us. They've taken away our park. They stole it from us. I use whatever language you want to steal. It doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to not be rude. And because they are a quasi-governmental organization, so that means that they're attached to the state, even if they're not necessarily answerable to the state. But as I said in the beginning of the call, before we call to order, CPD is running for a political seat. You know?
So do you think which is more effective, an email or a fax or a phone call?
So emails can be deleted. Phone calls are great because they can't, and the staff is told to keep a log of everybody who calls on a particular issue, whether they're for or against. So they do count it, and faxes just come through the little machine and spit out into the inbox. So that's good, too. So email's the least effective. It's the easiest to do, but it's the least effective because you don't get the bombardment that we should get. But what I have a problem with doing is because we've asked our people to respond so many times to so many issues, and we get, like, 4 people responding. So when is the most important time for people to respond? When should the timing on this be? So right now everybody's in a state of shock and kind of determining what they're going to do next. And then it'll fall off the radar in a little bit because as far as Coastal Commission concerned, you know, they're done. So it's up to us to keep the issue alive politically. But our people often don't have the stamina to do that where our opponents do.
And everything about this is political at this point. And legislation may be our savior. We may have to get legislation passed to rein in the Coastal Commission. I mean, the people of California created them with the help of OHV because they didn't have enough votes. It would be a really tough battle, but, that's a possibility. So, getting everybody on board and just letting our legislators know that we feel that they're just overstepping their authority will give some type of pressure on them, I would believe.
This is Jim Woods.
Yeah, Jim.
And
go ahead.
I think there's something that we missed real hard. Now, whether it would have made a difference in the meeting is different than what it would make as a difference to our members. And then I only got a 1 notification on the protest. Probably didn't do a damn bit of good, except got a bunch of people united. If we could have added 500 people to that, it'd been worth its weight in gold. So I'm really sad that we didn't push that more forward. And, thanks, Jared, Michael. You guys have been at every meeting. You've been pushing hard. It's a hard battle. I'm glad I'm not in the middle of it.
No. It would have been nice to have the show of support, but it wouldn't have changed the vote. The vote was predetermined, and you could tell it was predetermined by the language in the meeting when they flip up every now and then. They'd use, we decided, as if they already voted on this. So it was predetermined.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't mean people don't need to show up, because only having 70 to 100 people show up at that meeting is right. It's kind of unbelievable.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's just getting the audience excited. And that's what we need to do as Corva, to keep the money flowing and things going on. Yeah, the outcome was horrible. I watched about 2 hours of the meeting. It was horrible, disgusting. I walked out pissed off, turn it off, because you knew how it was going to come out. But we got to fight it to our best, I think.
Yep.
Absolutely, Jim.
This is Bruce. I got a question.
Yes, Bruce.
If State Parks does go to court against the Coastal Commission, being that they are both part of the state government in one way or another, who will be defending each side legally? I mean, the Attorney General's office usually covers state parks, so who would be representing Coastal Commission?
There are attorneys.
So they'd have to hire?
Their own counsel. No, they have their own counsel.
They have a staff of 160 people.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I believe it was 160 I read today.
Wow.
And
okay.
Budget was, there's some good stuff on Wikipedia, $33.5 million. And it's been going up every year for quite a while. And they have actually had, was it the Supreme Court? One court upheld their right to
not only fine people, but also collect the fine. They can cite people for violations, and they can also cite them for the fine, or fine them for it. They're a pretty rather powerful organization. Anybody else have any questions, thoughts, comments? How can we get everybody motivated?
Well, I think what we need to do is we need to determine the next best course of action, and there's a lot of conversations going on because there's a lot of people who want to do things and find the best direction forward. And I think there'll be some bigger, larger organizations that are going to want to work with different organizations in California and bring their weight to the issue. So without saying more to that than I can, the biggest, what I've learned in a lawsuit, wow, this interference, what I've learned in a lawsuit, and now I've filed 3 lawsuits against the federal government or Corva House, and I've seen so many others against the Forest Service, for example. Some of the most powerful lawsuits come later and not earlier. And you don't want to make a mistake. You don't want to rush doing something that you could eventually do better. So statute of limitations is not close to being up. We filed substantive comments, so we have standing. And have been involved in the process. That's the first step. But I would like
Jared?
To...
go ahead.
I would like to find out and ask a question to the board if it looks like Friends of Oceana Dunes will be first out of the gate, if they would... As we can't really take a vote on it because we don't know what the lawsuit is going to be yet, but I would like to hear from the board members if they would support filing an amicus brief or a friend of the court brief to support their lawsuit.
What does that give us other than just access to what's going on in the courts?
Do
we have a say in anything, or
no? It's just a one document that says we agree with this position. We support this position on this side because there's going to be a whole lot of people filing amicus briefs on the other side. So to try to bring, you know, balance the equation, so to speak.
Okay.
So it's not like intervening. Before, like in Ocotillo Wells, when we intervened on behalf of state parks, we did get decision-making power, and we did have our lawyer was in the courtroom every step of the way. And amicus brief is just a letter of support in a legal fashion.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any thoughts?
This is Debbie. Yeah. I just have a comment.
Yes, please, Debbie.
Hi. One of the things, and it, there is a lot of interest in the Central Valley, and I was just wondering if Corva, I love the alerts that we get. If someone could just send an alert of contact our legislature, send faxes, call, and then just tell us a little statement of what we should say, then we could send it out to our clubs in this area.
Yeah, that would
excellent
be great,
idea.
Debbie. We'll put that out.
Thank you.
This week, I want to make sure of the message, and I have to confess that I was really angry after the meeting last week, and my brain has not been able to put something out that isn't just.
Well, I have been reading all the Facebook posts that, like, Diane Mead put a really good one on, and then there was a lot of comments and a lot of odd comments. And so I do think there's people that just don't understand what this means, not only to Pismo, but any other state or county run OHV. And so so I think we need to get that message out there too. But even if we just start with faxes and phone calls, so they know there's a lot of people upset, even though we haven't started the lawsuits and those kinds of things. Right now, all people are seeing is that it's closing, and they want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question, please? This is Diana.
Yes, Diana.
What's the downside of the amicus brief?
There is none. I mean, it'll cost us something, but it shouldn't
but
be that
when
much.
When you say something, what do you mean?
I'm not sure. A couple thousand dollars, maybe $1,500, somewhere around there.
So dollar amounts are not going to interfere with our efforts to bring another lawsuit or do something else further down
no.
the road, right?
No, I think it's important. I've been thinking about this all weekend, and I think one of the most important things right now is really we're a community. We have a lot of people. I don't think people understand that if you take into account just people who self-identify as off-roaders, per Forest Service figures, we have 7 to 12 million or 11 million in California alone, and that doesn't include people who use, Bruce Witcher sent me an email the other day about his friends who are surfers who use Oceana Dunes to surf. And all the other people that use roads, trails, areas, SVRAs to do other things. Prairie City has a whole group of mountain bikers who ride in. Prairie City is closed to OHV on Wednesdays and mountain bikers go. There are so many people. You know, where are they? We need all these people together. We need to, if this doesn't get people to stand together and say, I'm an off-roader, I don't care what you ride or drive, but we have to stand together, I don't know what would. I mean, honestly, so that message does need to get out. And it does need to be done, though, in a coordinated, managed fashion that doesn't show, that shows factual information and not too much frustration, because that's, I know for myself, that's what I'm feeling right now. It's just a tremendous amount of frustration.
Amy, this is Bruce. Have you had any indication from Parks that they might appeal the decision of the Coastal Commission? There is a provision for that, but it's somewhat technical because it has to do with coastal development permit being more appealable than actual CCC decisions. Mm-hmm. There's some technical legal points in there that I'm not that aware of, but it's just something to be aware of, that there is a route, and it has to be on substantive issues, one of which is coastal access. I hate to say this, but, you know, if we make this about other forms of coastal access other than OHV, I think we're a lot more likely to be successful. For instance, the Coastal Commission itself actually left open a door to lower impact kinds of uses. Now, I know that probably doesn't play well in an off-road community kind of a thing, but if you're looking for a victory, and don't be too surprised if Parks decides to go down that route, because to me, that's where the legal argument could better be made, because what they've got now is so restrictive, nobody's going to be able to get out there unless they walk or say smiles through loose sand, and who's going to do that? I mean, I think it's going to really hamper access. I think that's an argument that would play well in a much larger community than just the OHV community. But I don't know. It's just a thought that I had. That, you know, there is an appeal provision in the Coastal Act. Whether parks will decide to use it or use some other avenue, I don't know. The only downside to siding with the Friends is that they can be, you know, one reason they're effective is they are very pointed in their arguments. And sometimes you get a little farther if you soft-pedal things a little bit. But I think we just have to need to see what they come out with before we sign on to anything. I think that only makes sense. Nothing yeah. against them. I think they definitely have the most experience in this area. And filing an amicus brief is it's a reasonably innocuous thing to do, but I think we want to see the tenor of what they're going to do before we agree to it. And I think you've sort of indicated that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I want
to... You know, what about the argument for disabled access to the beach? So this is like beach...
They covered so what they did is they left open this, and they were very clear to state this at the meeting, where they want to open the north of Grand Avenue, that mile up to what they bizarrely think could handle 500 campsites, but will allow vehicular access on the beach, just not south, where they consider it Esha, but north isn't Esha suddenly. So they said, well, we're still allowing access for ADA. ADA laws, and since I've sued the federal government on them, I know a little bit about it. I haven't sued the state. For open areas, anything, ADA laws are meant for built environments. So that's why people are successful with sidewalks, with restrooms, with parking spaces, because it's a built environment. Someone creates it. In a natural environment, it's a moral issue and an ethical issue. It's not necessarily a legal issue. But the Coastal Commission did consider that and mentioned it, you know, quite a few times. And back towards the deliberation, I remember one of the commissioners saying, well, people think we're just going to close it, and disabled people think we're going to close it, but we're really not. We're allowing other areas where they can have access. You know, yeah, I mean, a mile that's going to get, you know, high tide 50% of the time.
Yeah, areas that they want to let you into, not areas that you necessarily want to go to. That's such BS.
No, that's part of the argument. There's nothing pretty about this, but... I mean, I have been exploring something else, and all the people involved I'm not sort of free to talk about, but one of the things I've explored before the Coastal Commission meeting is what other communities can we bring on the side? What other people will stand with us? And there are some possibilities of communities with more political power necessarily than we have. So... I think it's really interesting, and it's something more to pursue, because as Bruce said, and I do agree with him, it is an OHV fight, but we need more than just an OHV fight. We need a bigger fight, and we need more people, and it'll send a very large political message. And some of the protected communities are the possibilities. It turns out that there's a lot of people who can't stand coastal elites. Go figure. And so sometimes you may not realize that you have a friend, but there's an old saying, you know, the enemy is my friend. So anybody who's ever had a problem with the Coastal Commission suddenly is on your side.
And there's a lot of them. Okay, I'd like to hear from a couple of the other board members their ideas. Anybody who hasn't spoken and come up, made their feelings heard, please do. Dave? Jarrett? Somebody? Lori?
What about in your ass? This is Jim. What I would like to talk to you about that is that I know that we're doing monetarily okay.
could be better, could be worse, but I really would like to discuss, and we can do this in a marketing group, which we don't have, but we need to send an ARIA out to people that don't go to the internet, that it could be a what's going on, what happened to Pismo, blah, 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 blah. Send some money, but it could be a good marketing ploy, and it would let people that don't go and look at that stuff understand what we're doing. So it's just an idea. Think about it. Like I said, we don't have a marketing group, but it makes sense to me because I haven't got anything. And then a lot of people said, where is my ARIA to me? And I've said, go to the internet, look it up, find the page and all that. Maybe it would be a big shot in the arm. That's all.
I agree with that, Jim, because, you know, for some reason, you know, the average off-roader, they don't go to the internet to, you know, they're not going to go look on the Corva website for the, you know, for the ARIA, even though you can get them all right there. But when those people get something in the mail and they get their hands on it and read it, I mean, that, I think that's one of the strongest things that we got going. And I'm with Jim. If we just maybe put out a special one or something that's just focusing on this issue, that might be a good thing.
Yeah, make it big. Make it something real impacting.
If you guys want to make it big, then send articles. That's what Ken Oyer sent an email to the board. He got exactly one article besides articles from me and Ken Clark that are normal. No one else sent him an article. And we can't have the ARIA unless we have information to put in there. And we have articles. So we desperately need that.
So we need content, but I think of having a special, I feel having a special ARIA, you know, to address the Pismo issue, and it may take a month or two before we kind of figure out what our direction is and what we need to put in there. But we are going to be having face-to-face events pretty soon here, and it would be an excellent tool for us, especially if we had one that concentrated on what the issues are at Oceano and with the Coastal Commission.
We're already having face-to-face events. So.
Okay, so
right. Okay. We need content from everybody.
So who is
everybody?
Collect that.
And people that are not on the board.
Everybody on this call. I'll challenge everybody on this call right now to write an article.
There you go.
Everybody on this call right now. I challenge everyone.
Oh, yep. So, do we have a meeting to discuss our next ARIA that will be printed? And who wants to be on that?
I'll be on it.
This is Jared. I want to be.
Jared, I'll be there, Jim.
Ken.
Well, we have
Oyer. Ken Oyer wants to be on it. We got.
Well, okay, well, we can take that offline, I would think. But let's,
yeah, okay,
yeah.
So Ken is the editor, but one of the things we have to put out right now is we need to put out an online ARIA because we need to get out as soon as the board passes the dates for the annual meeting. We need to put that out in the ARIA. So we need an online ARIA now. If you guys want to do a paper ARIA, that's great. It could be done 3 or 4 months from now. Just have to get Mike to calculate the expenses, you know, be a few thousand dollars. We want to figure out what we want to achieve from that. You know, what is it we're hoping to achieve? But right now we have to get an ARIA out literally within the next few days to get the notice out for the annual meeting.
Okay. We're halfway through our time, and I don't think everybody has spoken what they have, their feelings on Oceana Dunes. Can we move on? We have a couple other issues to discuss, or does anybody else have anything they want to discuss about
anything else they want to discuss about Oceana Dunes right now.
Ken, this is Ken Oyer, and I have a question.
Yes.
I haven't got the experience that a lot of you have, but when I've gone to Oceana Dunes, we had one huge meeting, but everywhere else I go, our rallies get 100 people, and it really kind of ticks me off. I see Jared and everybody else working so hard, and then I read, like today I saw an email where 1.5 to 2 million people use Pismo. What can we do? And I'll work to, if someone will tell me how, we need to reach that 1.5 or 2 million people. We've got people here in the Valley that have said if Pismo closes, they'll sell their stuff because they don't like to go to Dumont or anywhere because their wives like the ocean or whatever. What can we do? I feel like we talk at our meetings and it goes around in the same circle. We need to get new blood, new people going. And if you'll help me get it going, I'll spend the time to reach out. Anybody?
I agree.
So, one thing we can do is reach out to other organizations, share our information, and use their contact list to get more people. I've actually been reaching out to SEMA lately. I don't know if we want to get Blue Ribbon involved. They have a huge mailing list they would be willing to let us use. This is all going to be part of forming a coalition and getting everybody together to work on the same thing. I mean, we should have SEMA involved. The Motorcycle Industry Council should be involved. Honda should be involved. Polaris should be involved. You know, the Hall of Fame should be involved. Cal Four Wheel, everybody needs the mountain bike people, you know, the side-by-side dealers, the equestrians should be involved, the surfers should be involved, anybody, the windsurfers are actually the, don't they parasail out there or something? They need to be involved. So we're going to have to reach out to all these other groups and somehow get a coalition going and use everybody's resources. I think that's the way we get to 1.5 million people.
Okay.
Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah, sure does.
You can let him in.
All right. Okay. Real quick.
That I saw you.
All right.
Okay. I got to circle back. I got to circle back here.
Who's this?
This is Jared.
Hey, Jared.
So my question, yeah, is the right thing, and I agree with all of them. But who's going to do it? I mean, I'm just saying right now, and there's a reason I'm quiet, and it's because this is an hour and a half here on the call, and I should be going over legal documents right now, and I just have to say, like, I got maybe an extra 10 hours more on top of what I'm doing right now a week, but we need help. Like, we need people to step it up. And if I sound frustrated, I am. Everybody probably knows that. But, like, this has got to be a collaborative effort here, not just the other organizations, yes. But within the board of directors, our membership, and, like I said, I would volunteer to take this on as my only task if I only had one task, but it's physically impossible at this point. So, yes, we've got to get – there's a lot of moving parts, and we need a lot of people hands on deck here. But that needs to be the discussion. I mean, I think we all agree. I would imagine we would all agree on all the things that have been discussed tonight, that they all need to happen. I think our discussion needs to evolve into how is it going to happen and who's going to do it, because we're all in agreement here. But – yeah, there's a lot to be done. There's a shit ton of work that needs to be done. It's
so
never ends. So we need help.
As far as the membership and getting help, today I noticed that I approved a membership for Facebook of a guy who worked in a law office, and he's on my list to send a note to, you know, can you help? So that's another thing we can do is send out an alert to our membership, to the community, asking people who is a legal person.
You know, who's a paralegal? Who's a lawyer? Who's willing to put some of their professional time into this effort? So that's a message we can also get out there. A good point, Jared. Everybody has to do something.
Absolutely.
And once again, thank you for all your hard work. I know how much you put into this. So, some excellent ideas. Okay. I have Altamont Landfill Open Space Committee meeting on here. Does anybody got an update on that, Bruce or Diane?
Well, I sat through it and for the 2 hours that they were on. And they are one of the slowest moving committees that I've seen. For the last three meetings that I've sat through, their primary focus has been this interactive map that someone has been working on for quite some time that supposedly shows animal movement and such up and down the corridor through there. They spend over an hour talking about that. No, we can do this, we can do that, what have you. They got around to Carnegie, and that's when Celeste Garamendi kind of jumped in there and to let them know about, was it SB 799? AB 9? Anyway, the Carnegie bill. And it seems like a few of the people on the committee are very one-on-one personal with Celeste. So I think the other side has got a big foot in the door right now. But it doesn't look like things are moving very fast as far as the landfill committee making any sort of decisions or whatever for right now. I think they're going to wait and see what happens with that bill. And that's about it.
Thank you, Bruce.
You're welcome.
So, Amy, that brings us to legislation. How are we doing in the Capitol?
Well, our reciprocity bill is doing really well. It actually passed out of committee today on the consent calendar. That's AB 232. So there is no objection at all to our reciprocity bill, and this is important to everyone. Actually, who wants to go recreate in other states or wants other states to stop overcharging California residents. So, anyway, that's good news. Kathy did a great job. We all wrote letters. So on to the next vote. But it's looking really positive.
Fantastic. Any questions about legislation going on? All right. Any field reports from people in the north? I know I'm going to start going to the Vora races up in this area. Ken Oyer actually motivated me to do this, and I'll get with you on the schedule, Ken. Maybe we can go to a couple together. I'm going to go to the first one, and it's going to be April 16th, I think it is, up in Quincy. So we'll start getting racers involved. And, you know, back to Oceana Dunes and the Coastal Commission. Up in just north of Eureka is Sonoma Dunes. I think it's BLM property.
Yeah.
But is it an SBRA or is it just BLM property?
No.
That's an area.
Just BLM property.
It's just BLM property. I know they've been after that for years. So that's, you know, just another area that would fall along with Prairie City. They're building houses right up to the border of Prairie City right now, and it won't be long before we start having the same problems, especially if we lose this Oceana Dunes thing. It's going to empower them, and they're going to go after everything. And, of course, we got in Northern California, we got Celeste and the landfill people. I'm sure they're just waiting, you know, for this thing to go through. They're just going to jump on everything, and I'm sure it's going to start happening down south too. Anyway, anybody else got anything on the Northern California, Diane or Lori? Bruce?
Negative.
All righty. Thank you. Vinny, your Southern California group, we have any? What's going on down there? Ed Stoven?
Well, this is Vinny. Yeah, like I said earlier, things are opening up. You know, I went to the Tierra del Sol, had their desert safari, a virtual desert safari, the first weekend of this month. But, you know, a lot of people were down at Ocotillo Wells at that time. And so they invited Corva to come down. I think they invited Cal Four Wheel and San Diego Off-Road Coalition to come down and put up booths and stuff. They were there, and Corva was there, but Cal Four Wheel, they never even heard back from them. So I don't know what happened there. But I went down and spent the day on Saturday. Me and Ed Stoven was there, and so was Mike McGarity. And we tried to get the word out. We didn't really, you know, bring in too much money. We sold a couple of memberships and, you know, some of the flags and stickers and stuff, a couple hundred bucks worth. But we got the word out, and they put out a little video of their raffle and stuff, and they had me speak, and, you know, I spoke, and it was good. It was a good event. So things are opening up. I got a phone call from a guy of the Southern California Land Cruiser Association, I think, or no, it's a Skoda Scout. Southern Scout thing. Yeah. And anyways, they're having an event. Yeah, they're having an event in Calico next month, and they invited Corva to go up there. And I think they're gonna donate some of the proceeds to Corva. So I'm gonna try and make it up there on that weekend. It's gonna be tough, but I probably make it up there at least for the day. So, like I said. Slowly but surely, things are opening up, and hopefully we can get the word out. So, and next weekend, there's an grand opening for the off-road warehouse in Corona. And there's a bunch of vendors going to be there, and the club that I belong to, the Dirt Devils, they're going to set up a booth. And so I'm going to go there with our Corva Easy Up and try to get the word out. So, and I'll tell people to make phone calls, call their legislator, and do whatever I can. But I can only be there for a few hours in the morning. So,
thank you, Ray.
Anyway, that's what's going on, as far as I know. Ed Stoven and Mike McGarity for coming out to the TDS thing and helping out. So that's it. I don't know if either one of those guys have anything else to add. So.
I got a couple things, if I can take a few minutes.
Yes.
I was at Tierra del Sol. I took Mike McGarity for a little tour out there, up Tectonic Gorge and down Tierra del Sol Wash. I think he enjoyed it. The next day, I was invited to go on a ride with Tom Lemon, the OHV commissioner, and he invited Senator Brian Jones and fellow Commissioner Patricia Urania over there. And so those three got side-by-sides, and they borrowed them from Steve's ATV, Steve Rent's ATVs, and Salton City. He also has a lot of them in Oceano Dunes. And my Vice President, Audrey Mason, and I rode my motorcycle, and I took them on a ride. And I showed them the area we want to make dual use, what do we call that, combined use, along the highway on the north side of Ocotillo Wells. So that went pretty good. Everybody is in agreement that would be a benefit for us. Off-road vehicle state parks grants are available right now for public comment now through the beginning of May. I've started looking at them, and they look about the same. One of the most interesting grants to me is that the County of San Diego is asking for $300,000 is asking for $300,000 to investigate making an off-road park in San Diego. And that came from the help of former senator, former assemblyman, current county supervisor Joel Anderson. That's super cool. Last Saturday, our group, San Diego Off-Road Coalition, and the San Diego Off-Road Vehicle Club had a joint cleanup at Superstition Open Area. We filled about half of a 40-yard dumpster with trash. I also got to look around, and I didn't see any work, but the Navy, who has the bombing range next to the Superstition Open OHV area, is putting up a fence between. They've had too many incursions over there, so I went and rode the border to see if they were working on the fence. And they claim that they're going to start and finish the project this month, so I'm kind of surprised I didn't see anything out there. I guess that's all I got. Anybody have any questions? Feel free to ask.
Ed, I just want to check. There's someone who just came on the call who I don't know what it is. It's a 714 area code.
Amy,
it's
me.
Oh, Steve. Sorry, Steve. For some reason you weren't in my database here.
Okay.
It's good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours, too.
Regarding Oceano Dunes, I think it'd be a great thing for Corva to send a letter to the court the way Amy described, and to get out an emergency ORIA, I think that would be a big benefit to us so that we can take ownership and understanding that the problem is there and that we're going to try to work towards solutions. When the ORIA is being planned, I would love to get an email a week before the deadline and maybe 1 or 2 days before just to make sure I sit down and can reach the deadline and get an article to you, because I kind of forget if I get an email weeks ahead of time. It just sort of slips my mind, even though I know I got plenty of things to write about. So that would really help me.
I know. I forget, too, when I get things too far in advance. Okay. Anybody else have anything from the Southern Board? Okay, before I'm going to switch guest comments and the Corva 50th anniversary. We haven't really, with the Oceana Dunes thing, we haven't done anything with the 50th anniversary. But we do have to get dates for our annual meeting. And we can do it the same as we did last year. We'll do part one in April and part two in May. Do we need to approve dates tonight, Amy?
Well, we don't technically need a vote on that. We just need to make the announcement. I just want to make sure it's okay for everyone. And we can make the 26th meeting as we usually do. We usually do the part one about issues that are facing us, and maybe we can get some guest speakers in to talk about Oceano Dunes. We should have a lot more information on the 26th. So the part one would be on the 26th of April, and part two would be on the 24th of May. That doesn't interfere with Memorial Day weekend is the next weekend after the 24th, so we're good on that.
24th of May?
Uh-huh.
And what was the date for April?
26th.
Does that work with everybody? Now, do we want to, I mean, things are opening up again. There's a possibility that we could have a face-to-face meeting? Or are we just going to plan on doing this as either a phone conference or a Zoom meeting?
I say we do it a Zoom meeting or conference call, personally.
Yeah. I can't travel, so.
Okay.
I realize we're still coming out of this. I had to go get a test today. I walked into the clinic and no temperature check. Nobody at the door, walked right in. Until I got to the reception desk, and then they gave me the mask, and I had to answer the magic questions. So things are loosening up quite a bit, at least here in the Bay, East Bay. Okay, is everybody good with that? We can put that in Araya, and we can get that out of the way, and then we need to start working on what we're going to do for that meeting and what our subjects are going to be. And we haven't heard anything about, nobody's requested bylaw changes either, so we don't have to concern ourselves with that one, I don't believe. I am up for re-election this year. I will accept the nomination if you guys want me to re-run again and finish out two more years. If not, if there's somebody that wants to take over the Corbett, that's fine by me. Do we have any other positions open, Amy? Well, we have the we always have our longstanding VP of administration.
Yep, and I didn't check. I confess, I didn't check the bylaws to see what positions are up.
Let's shoot something out. Find out what is open and shoot that out to everybody. Okay. Is everybody good with that? Guest, do you have any questions or comments?
Yes, I have a comment. Linda with On the Rocks.
Yes.
I think we should draft an informational letter with who to contact and stuff, and then talk to Daisy Hightork, since they have Side by Side magazines, dirt bike magazines, sand magazines, all at the same place. I do have a contact there.
Oh,
I could
excellent.
Run it by me. But I think that would get to a lot of people quick, but we need to have the information put down and what's going on, and that would probably get it in lots of people's let them know about it, what's going on.
Perfect. That's part of, getting everybody together and using everybody else's contacts. And that's how we're going to, battle this. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll be getting something together pretty quick here, and we'll make sure it gets out to everybody so it can be shared.
Okay, and if you want me to talk to them, I know quite a few people there.
Perfect. Make a note there. I got you down. Okay. Any other guests? Mike McGarity, thank you for going down and supporting us at Tierra de Sol.
Thank you, Ken. You're welcome. It was fun. I've been before, but not like this time. And staying up on the bluffs with Nervini, that was really neat. And then Ed's hospitality and showing me around. At one point, I looked over at Naomi. I was like, "Hey, we're being personally toured and shown around by Ed Stovall." Like, amazing. So,
oh, you're privileged.
It was something else. I really did appreciate that. So
good. All righty. Okay, if nobody else has any questions or anything they want to beat to death, we'll move on to Mike's treasurer report. We did okay. And I promise I'll do a better job on inventory this year.
One thing you guys might keep in mind, when I switched the merchandise in QuickBooks so that it tracks cost of goods every month instead of booking it once a year, it really makes it difficult when I don't know what we sell. So, and I know it's difficult. when you're at events and stuff like that. But if you can please just try to keep track of stuff, it does make life much easier at the end of the year. So just keep that in mind. Because the other thing that helps with that, we've got a basically a running inventory, which will help Amy or Jared, whoever's ordering merchandise, just gives us some more accurate numbers. Anyway, the books have been closed for the year. As I mentioned, I've reached out to our CPAs. They're buried right now with all of the changes in the tax code and everything else. So they're really not too worried about us. They just need to get all the normal taxes filed. And since our year ends in February, they've got until the end of June, I believe. And we've also got a two-month extension along with everybody else. So once they're ready for me, I'll send them the books. But despite everything we did in the year, on the positive side, we increased our tax. So I think we had an excellent year in that respect. We do have more than enough funds to go back doing the Uriah. I don't know if we want to do it every quarter like we did, but a special Uriah for Oceano Dunes probably makes sense. Try to touch base. I don't know that we get that much more response, but we do get a few people that mail in checks, so I think it's worthwhile. Let's see, what else have I got? Oh, I did a short recap. I don't know if any of you looked at it, but I just tried to look back over the last 5 years on a few key points just to see what the trends were. It's kind of interesting. But, again, I think we had an excellent year overall. So.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Mike. Any questions for Mike?
Yeah, I don't know if this is a question or just a comment, but it seems to me like our merchandise is doing rather well. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. If you look, one of the things that I did, part of our merchandise, 5 years ago we made less than $700, and then it went to four, and then nine, and this year just closing, we made $15,000, and that was our net profit on merchandise. So that just about offset the loss from events, because we only made like $18,000, I think, the year before in the event column, or the last 4 years of the event. So, yeah, it helped us immensely. The only thing we really bombed on this year was the Heritage T-shirts when we did the sand color, and I was really shocked. We've only sold like four or five of them, but other than that, everything else that we've put out there has done really well. And
this is all through the website, right? Or mostly
90% of it, yeah. You guys sold some stuff out of King of the Hammers, but other than that, yeah, most of it's gone through the website.
That's good. We got to look at that then. I mean, if we can keep that up, you know, and yeah. I'm sure it's social media, you know, Jared and you know, Instagram and you know, Facebook, probably mostly Instagram. Yeah. But
The other interesting thing is, and I haven't, the last time I ran the numbers, which was a couple of months ago, but we actually over 65% of our merchandise is bought by non-members, sometimes almost 70%. So, yeah, it's another revenue stream, I guess, in addition to membership. Those that don't decide to pay us $40 at least go out and buy shirts and license plates and advertise for us. So that helps every bit.
All right, well, good deal. So, yeah, and we probably need to discuss replenishing merchandise. I don't know, like license plate frames and all that stuff. I hardly have anything. And if I'm going to be start going to, you know, events and stuff again, I'm going to need to stock up on stuff. So not necessarily T-shirts, but like those license plate frames, those are kind of a big deal. And, you know, some of the other stuff. So anyways, thanks, Mike.
Yep.
So I can tell everybody the next big store purchase item. I don't know if you guys remember when John put the three designs for the motorcycle, Jeep, and side-by-side, especially the motorcycle one, was kind of an homage to, what is that called? Why can't I think of it? But it was really popular online. We haven't produced the shirts yet because we wanted to highlight the special shirt that we were selling at King of the Hammers. And so now we're getting ready to do those, which were really, really popular designs online, so popular that Joe, who doesn't wear T-shirts, wants a motorcycle shirt because he thought it was so cool. And he never wears T-shirts. It's absolutely a shock. So that's going to be the next thing, and I think those will sell amazingly well. And we're going to also look at discounting. I know what we've done in the past is sometimes the old stock we give away at shows when somebody buys a membership, and that could be really a good thing. And so maybe some of those older shirts that we have, we may want to write off the inventory and just save them for show stock and giving away with memberships and things like that, so we kind of cycle through the goods that we have. So that's on my list to do this week. Last week was a little busy with comments and Coastal Commission. So I'm excited about those other shirts, though. Those would be really cool. I hope everyone remembers which designs I'm talking about.
It doesn't ring a bell with me, Amy.
Really? I was like the Rat Pink shirt. Oh, they're cool designs.
I'm sure they'll be. They'll be just beautiful. All right. Okay, thank you, Mike and everybody. And did everybody listen to the minutes for the February meeting? Can we approve those? Anybody want to make a motion? I guess not. Okay.
I make a motion that we approve the February minutes.
Thank you, Bruce.
Let's go. Come on, guys. You're welcome. I'm good for something.
I'll second it.
Yay!
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed? And all those abstaining. All right, that brings us to the end of our agenda. We do have a little bit of time if anybody wants to talk about anything else. Any ideas? Frustrations?
Guys, do we get the Desert Advisory Council had a meeting last week. They haven't had a meeting in like a year and a half or 2 years. I forget how long. Randy Bannis is back. And we only had a meeting with reports, and it's kind of to meet the other. We had some new appointees. So we'll be having a regular meeting in the near future.
Good. Start having meetings again. Okay. Unless anybody else has something they want to speak about or ask questions.
Hey, Ken, this is Steve Keel. I'm sorry,
hey,
I just
Steve.
Got back late. I just got here on the phone call 20 minutes ago. I got back late from where I was at. But could you just give me, or somebody give me a nutshell of what you know, I keep reading about the Pismo situation, and I see friends posting on our dunes and saying, well, we're going to see him in court, and I don't know. Has anybody discussed anything about, you know, what a cause of action is? Or, and I know you guys probably went through this ad nauseum, but I just wanted to get a speed up on it.
Yeah, Steve, call me tomorrow, and I'll explain everything.
Okay.
We're being very determinative. We don't want to go to court with a rush lawsuit. We also want to get the biggest collaborative group possible. And,
okay, I'll just call you, and you can bring me up to speed. I was just curious because I'm not sure of what the cause of action would be.
And then we're still kind of open on that because we're waiting to find out how State Parks is going to, you know, handle this. But Amy can bring you up to speed on that. It's going to take everybody to be involved. That's going to be the important message, is everybody has to be involved. We have to let the legislator know how important that is to us.
Okay, thank you.
So, you're welcome. That's about all we can really say at this time. Things are still unfolding. People are still shell-shocked from the meeting. I advise everybody to go to Wikipedia and read what is there as far as the Coastal Commission. It's quite eye-opening, and then you start doing some research from there, and we've got a hell of a battle ahead of us. It's going to take everybody, and it's going to take a lot of money and a lot of political power. Okay. Would anybody like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Do we have to?
No, we can sit here. We can hang out for another 29 minutes. Lucky Bruce.
I haven't eaten dinner yet, so I'm going to make a motion to adjourn the meeting. And
I second.
Thank you, Bruce.
You're welcome.
All right. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed and all those that abstain. Okay, stay tuned, everybody. Stay informed and keep spreading the word. And this is going to get better. It's not all that bad. It's going to get better. Trust us. We're going to work hard and make sure that we come out okay on this. All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.